Blog Talk Radio.
Enjoy cutting up openings like Riser Getting Good. Just no Japanese rap. No, and all jokes. I like the opening actually, and of course, today.
That's my favorite opening.
Oh, that's good to hear. And of course, as you know,
bastard,
today we're
you cut it off.
Yeah. So it's okay. Later on, we'll hear more music. Very sad ending music when this podcast is over. Anyway, today we're doing Bleach, Memories of Nobody. We have not touched Bleach yet, you know, podcast-wise, but, I mean, we've been fans for years. Still keeping up with the manga here. Tristan kind of veered off, and, you know, he's a lucky bastard for it. And, here we are. You know, this is those guys. So, yeah, good stuff. So, also, by the way, this does not mean that we're not doing DBZ this week. Tomorrow, we're actually, Tristan and I are also going to do Super Android 13. So definitely look forward to that. The podcast, not the movie. But hey,
Super Android Bleach 13 World Destroyer.
Memories of robots.
Memories of Android.
Yes, pretty much. But seriously, yeah, I mean, this was a really good movie. I mean, this was an amazing film, I would say. You know, I hate to say this, but I think Bleach movies just go down from here. You know, this was a very hard movie to top.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel?
I don't really know. Like, I do like the movie.
Right.
But I feel like... I don't know what I feel like.
You're just so... You see, Tristan is just so blinded by sadness. I cried throughout the entire movie. This isn't Memories of No One. This is Feels, the movie. That's all this is, really. It's just... It made me... like. What I like about this movie...
It feels of nobody.
Yes, exactly. Just feels nobody. The story of... Feels nobody. The story of my high school years. So, but seriously, though, if you want to call in, by the way, talk about the movie with us at any point, definitely call in. The number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. So I mentioned crying a lot, right? And the reason why I do is because the thing about this movie, right, what I like about it is that, and this is just my opinion of it, the first time you see the movie, right, you kind of find this girl annoying, honestly. And I'm not saying that she was that much better, you know, Senna, she was that much better. But what happens is, you know, you do start to, you know, feel for her throughout the movie. You grow to kind of like her. And then, of course, she dies, basically, and, you know, kind of dissipates and everything. And you really get emotional. For me, anyway, you really got emotional there. And now rewatching the film, what I really enjoy is that, most movies, when, like, a character dies at the end or lives or something, there's no tension, I think, throughout the film. Something about this film, I think, that I really enjoy is now scenes of her, like, when she was up basically on that tightrope kind of thing and talking about how pretty everything was and how she just loved it so much, that got me choked up, you know? Her helping the little kid, you know, help find his dad... While that did, you know, kind of get me sad the first time around, now it really got me choked up. Basically, whenever she was happy, I was sad.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because the first time around, it didn't really, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, good, she's happy, good for her. Maybe you felt something. But
yeah.
Upon viewing it again, it was just, it really, you know, got me emotional. I think that's what's great about this movie, where you can come back to it and not feel as if, you know, well, I know where it's going to end, so whatever.
Yeah. No, I didn't feel that way about it either. Like,
yeah.
Her character was probably the best part of the movie. I mean, they really put her character together very well, because they do it gradually throughout the movie. You learn bits and pieces of her. And, you know, like you said, your attitude towards her probably changes throughout the movie until, you know, finally the end where it's...
I agree. And, you know, I also feel as if... No, what I would like to say is that the thing about this movie that I really enjoy, too, is the runtime, right? It's funny because usually we do DBZ films, so when we're watching those, the runtime is an hour or even less.
Yeah.
But what's really funny is that, you know, here they gave you more time, and I really think that most anime films really need that time, because for this movie, it added so much to it, where had you shaved off that 30 minutes, you would have really destroyed a lot about this film, because
they
just did so much.
Connected.
Exactly, because that's what I think is great about this movie. Even the villains, you know, you still get at least a tiny bit more connection to them, even though they appeared less than normal DBZ villains would in their film. But still, you can still, like, you know, get pieces of, okay, this is who this is, this is who this is, and really connect to them, you know, and, or at least want them destroyed. Where DBZ, I don't know, something about it, and maybe it's because we've seen DBZ films so many times, to the point where we can memorize, you know, we know the lines. But it's just, it really, I don't know, something about this movie really does make you, you know, connect with these characters, with how much time they're on screen. You know, there's great fights. That's what's great, too. There's still amazing fights. But there's still enough time to make you think, you know what? Yeah, I like Senna. Senna and Ichigo are kind of cool. You know, not as a couple or anything, but, like, you know, like, they're cool, like, best buds, you know, or annoyed friend. In Ichigo's case, just very annoyed with Senna. You know, it's nice. It's cute. And then also, speaking of DBZ, since it's, you know, up here, I like that they waited long enough so that Ichigo would basically have his Super Saiyan form.
Yeah.
You know, I like that they waited instead of, I mean, he could have some great fights with the Shikai and everything, but it's great that they kind of waited for him to get Bankai. To kind of make really interesting fights and to give him kind of more of a move set instead of, because, you know, you look at DBZ, and before Goku was super duper powered, he had Kung Fu. So Kung Fu could still carry, you know, and Kung Fu did carry the films, you know, the first two.
Right.
But then, you know, but it wouldn't really work, I think, with Bleach. Like, that's how I feel. So I'm happy that they waited. But then at the same time, another problem, you know, is the fact that because, you know, you have to give a villain that makes Ichigo, it makes it harder for Ichigo to, you know, to fight. It makes a lot of the other characters seem less important.
Yeah.
Where you know, in the first, I mean, think about it. You look at the first, you look at the second Dragon Ball Z film, right? Master Roshi's in it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Master Roshi's doing much, but he's in the film. You know?
Right.
So it's like there's still a little bit of that there. When you get to later Dragon Ball Z films, not even a mention of Master Roshi.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, like that's how I feel, where it's just, you know, I just really enjoy that, you know, I mean, I enjoy that they waited, because again, I also, from the looks of it, waited till they could get, you know, something a bit more of substance. Rather than, you know, as much as we love DBZ, they do yearly films, mostly.
Right.
You know, so it, you know, so waiting this long only, I mean, hell, over the span of Bleach's anime, you know, runtime, they've only done four films.
Right.
So, I mean, arguably, yeah, they're waiting until they have the right story and they have everything worked out, and they don't want to make just an hour-long movie, which is really nice, I think.
Yeah.
You know, not ranking out, you know, not trying to, you know, put down DBZ, because DBZ, man.
Yeah.
But it's still a really cool thing, I feel.
Yeah, because I think the one difference between Bleach and DBZ is that with Bleach, you have, yes, Ichigo is the main character, and yes, he's, you know, one of the most powerful characters, but he's not going to be able to tank, you know, the final boss, I guess you could say, like, say, Goku would. You know, he still has the Soul Society coming in to help him out. You know, he's got all
right.
the 13 court guard squad captains coming in.
Something
and they
else
usually,
yeah.
like, the villains in Bleach usually also have a group. So
right,
while Ichigo
right.
is fighting, you know, the leader of this group, the rest of, you know, the captains can fight the other, you know, the other members of the villains' force or whatever.
Right, right. Another thing, by the way, that I would like to mention, the soundtrack is amazing. You know, where, and I love the DBZ soundtrack, but just, I love the soundtrack specifically for Bleach, I think, out of the most that I've really heard, out of the animes that I've seen, if only because it's just, if anyone ever tries to argue with you and say something like, you know, anime music is okay, you know, I mean, or in general, just music, you know, in the background, you know, whatever, like, it's just background music, you know, you gotta throw Bleach at them, because Bleach just, the music in the background for Bleach really just adds so much to these scenes.
Yeah.
Where a simple scene where, you know, Ichigo and Ruki are just running, right? Immediately with the right background music becomes a very tense scene.
Right.
You know, a scene that, yes, is sad, you know, Ichigo could be crying, but with the right music there, it hits you.
Yeah.
In a way that pure silence just couldn't.
Right.
I mean, I love me some silence. You know, silence really does also add to, you know, to certain scenes. But there's something about the music in Bleach that will always connect with me. That will
yeah.
always just resonate.
Yeah, definitely. I felt the same way, too. Like, when I'd be watching the anime, watching the series, I always thought the music was very well done, and they put it in the right place, too. Like, it was different. I don't know. It was... Like, even the one of the battle themes, I believe it's You Are Now Number One. I don't know if that's the actual
oh,
title,
yes.
but
it's
something
it's
like that.
It's Number One, yes.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It really gets you pumped.
It was funny, because the first time I heard it, I thought it was kind of, like, silly and quirky.
Right.
But it's like, I still kind of liked it, but I wasn't sure about it. But the more I heard it, the more I actually got into it. Like, yeah, this really does fit.
See, that's the reason why I love it, because it's just weird and quirky, and it didn't fit in a way, but then you had to remember, wait, Bleach is kind of this, you know, this kind of like, it isn't meant to just be like, you know, I mean, even the opening, right, it's Japanese, yes, but Japanese rappers, you know, so of course they're going to have an African-American woman singing this, you know what I mean, like, they're not going to have it be very, I mean, like, you look at Naruto, let's say, right, I mean, yeah, there's Japanese rap in some of the openings, but the background music is more like, yo, you know, where, because
yeah.
of the times that they're in, where Bleach, you can tell that, you know, whoever really worked with Bleach wanted to make it more, you know, kind of like a, you know, fresh, you know, with the pH.
Oh, God.
No, but seriously, you want to make it fresh and funky. And
oh, stop.
No, I will continue until I die.
No,
but
I know what you mean,
But yes, that's how I feel, as if they, you know, that's where they wanted to really go with this, I think. And also, it's funny, we brought up Goku before, and you mentioned, you know, Goku versus Ichigo, and I want to ask you, do you think that Goku would have cut off a guy's arm and then later on had asked him, hey, would you like your other arm cut off? Like,
yeah,
I know,
no,
Goku's
that's probably more of a Vegeta line.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, I know Goku's killed some guys, obviously, you know, it happens every
yeah.
once in a while, but it's just, oh my God, like, just the fact that he just, and then what's even better is how cool the villain is, right? Because the villain not only gets his arm cut off, but then goes, I will see you later, and just runs away. Like, that's not, you know, it's like what is someone to say? Oh, well, it's like when you cut off a tail, you know, it's like he's running away. No, he cut off his arm.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing. Like, he grew it back later. He grew it back.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like I can't grow it back, but.
That was, if you notice, that was African-American Tien right there. Just, it'll grow back. You know, so he grew his arm back. But yeah, no, it was still very interesting, I think, because, again, we've been doing so much DBZ that in our heads, you know, it's like, that's a hero, that's a hero. Ichigo cuts off a guy's arm. Oh. Well, that's a hero. That's something. But yeah, and speaking of the villains, right, what did you think of the villains in this film?
Well, I thought the designs, like the armor, I thought the armor was really cool, like the costume
right.
designs for them. I thought that was awesome. And I thought, you know, the character designs were interesting. They were different. You know, the different styled weapons, too, was always nice to see.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did give you a little bit of backstory as to who they were and why they were doing this.
Right.
But,
I mean, it's very...
Yeah, it was, you know, it's just enough to get you to, like, oh, this is who this is. This is what they're doing. This is why they're doing it. Oh, okay.
I just love how both sides have their own story, though, where, you know, Soul Society says they were trying to invade, so we banished them. And all of a sudden, while the other side didn't really say that was wrong, they said we had to wander here for years and years and generations. People died,
yeah.
Man. And I'm kind of sitting here looking, and I'm thinking, did they really, like, after everything Soul Society has done and has covered up and has said and really turned and whatever, I'm sitting here thinking, did they really try to make an uprising, you know? Like, did they just, you know, like, did they just, like, maybe, like, you know, they were trying to buy a pack of gum, accidentally forgot to pay for it, treason, you know, what really happened with Soul Society here? Because I'm just worried, where it's just, they tried to destroy Soul Society. How?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had swords. And armor. Yeah, and armor. So.
And we don't have that?
Well, they weren't part of the court guards and everything, so we just threw them away. Well,
yeah.
Like, I would love that to be something they would just wanted to throw in there. Would be like, we were banished because Aizen said,
No.
Like, this makes
no, watch.
Oh, Aizen
just comes out from behind him. It's like, no, not yet. Stabs him and leaves.
Aizen was the main villain, actually. Aizen is everyone. Aizen
oh,
was
obviously.
Senna.
He was pulling the strings the entire time.
Oh, yeah. No, Aizen was Senna. Like, on Ichigo's
whoa!
Back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, I think.
Oh,
like,
God,
like,
no.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Aizen is... Aizen is the villain the entire time.
Oh, God, why did you have to do that?
I'm letting you know. You might not know this. I'm letting you know. They weren't in the Valley of the Screams. They just, like, it was all a movie set. They were in Hueco Mundo.
Oh, God, now all I can see is, like, when Ichigo beats the main villain and the tree opens up and you see Senna and she just lifts up her head, now all I see is Aizen's face. On her,
Photoshop.
It's just like,
please,
well, hello,
Photoshop.
Ichigo, and he's just like, ah!
Anyone listening who's very good at Photoshop, please Photoshop that and post it on our wall. Post it on our Facebook wall. Those guys on the radio.
No,
yeah, those
no.
guys on the radio, if you're looking at the URL, or if you're searching us through Facebook, you could put up those guys. Please, if anyone can, post that on our wall, and I will immediately spam that to Tristan.
I will
and
kill
spam
you.
After you've seen Aizen's face on Senna's body for the 247th time, then you will kill him. Then I will die.
Yes. Yes. Then you will die.
But, yeah, so we were talking about some Bleach movie, right? The villains, yes, the villains, you know, they were villainous. I mean, you know, they made you hate them, but they also made you, basically a Bleach and a Naruto must. You must want to, you know, kill the villain until they talk, and then you think, oh, poor little puppy. Like, that's
although,
what you're meant to...
It's funny, like, I feel like I would have been a little bit more invested in the villains. Like, not saying that, I guess they probably didn't have time for this, but if they had actually had, like, even just a small flashback to that said invasion...
Yes, I agree completely. I think it's mostly because they wanted to focus on Senna more. But
yeah,
I can bet
exactly.
you money that they... I can bet you money that they probably wanted to do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's stuff, like, I'm sure someone wanted to do that.
But it probably
also,
got cut, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Also, a random segue, but I still think it's relevant. Rukia is Will Smith. She used her Men in Black technique to erase everyone's mind, and it's all okay. To erase everyone's memory, and it's all okay. Yeah, like, there's no problem with that. That's not an issue. Ichigo,
yep.
You're a human race traitor. All right? That's what you are, Ichigo. You are just okay with Rukia working with the Soul Society government to erase everyone's mind. Poor person, Ichigo. You are doing nothing for this country.
Well, I mean, you know, they were going to take him to the hospital, man. I mean, he couldn't, you know, lie around in bed for the rest of the day and do that and explain. No. Everyone would... Oh, God. That would be a terrible ending to that movie. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't do that, and Ichigo gets sent to the hospital, and they're trying to ask him what the hell's wrong, and they can't find anything wrong, and he's trying to explain himself, and they're just like, well, he's mentally kicked the bucket.
Exactly.
And they put him away. And that's the end of the movie.
And then every night, he can break out into his soul form, and then he will... That's what he does. Just mental patient by day, Shinigami by night.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so yeah, so...
Yeah, like he just comes back later and Rukia's like, where the hell have you been? And he's like, don't ask. Just go. Just fucking go.
But speaking of funny things, since we're throwing out funny things, this movie had a lot of comedy in it that I really, really, really enjoyed. Like, just the little things, where it's just, you know, where Ichigo's running away, and you just have some kid talking to his mom. Mommy, that man is talking to himself. Just little things like that, where it's just, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, like, or when Urahara was explaining the problem to Ichigo, you know.
Oh,
and,
God, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, just with the flip book and everything. Or when Ichigo's dad and his sister were trying to spy on him when he was with Senna. Just the little things like that are just...
Yeah.
Like, because what I like is, I don't, like, personally, I don't feel as if they're so out of nowhere that they really break any tension, I think.
Yeah.
Because the thing with the Urahara thing, right, I think was perfect because had that not been there, had it just been a straight-up explanation, that was a lot to take in.
Yeah.
It really was. So you needed something that kind of make sure that everyone could get it and that they could, like, you know, like that visual demonstration. And, you know,
right.
Like little things like that where, like, you could make sure, like, all right, everyone got this. And it was kind of funny to make people go, like, haha, to really get them invested rather than just be, like, you know, a history class.
Yeah, rather than them just sitting around Urahara's coffee table and, like, looking very serious at each other.
Yeah, that would have been a bit too much, I think, personally.
Yeah, for that explanation.
Also, yes. Also, I'd like to mention, okay, so the company that made, you know, that one of the animation companies that worked on this movie is Studio Period, right?
Right.
Okay, so I only bring it up because there was actually a sign behind Senna when she was talking to Ichigo and Rukia. Senna was leaning on the gate or something, and it was like a ledge, remember, and it was there behind her, it's pierto.com. And it's just funny because it's... Yeah, well, no, that's the thing. I don't know if it's exactly the site. Sadly, I was not able to look it up in the time being. But what's very funny, I don't want my computer to break, but what's funny is only because, yeah, like, it's just, like, little things like that, where it's like, let's make Pierre Period into English. Pierto. Like, little things like that, where it's like, let's just, you know, like, it's just Japanese working with language is very funny. When trying to write it out in English.
Yeah.
Nine times out of ten, you're going to go, eh. You know, like, oh, that's, eh. But, yeah, so I have a question for you now. Obviously, a lot of people made cameos in this movie. What was your favorite cameo out of everyone who appeared?
Oh, just of, like, characters who appeared?
Yes,
just I don't know. I mean, I usually like to see Hitsugaya come in, and I thought the drinking game between Ikkaku and...
Yes.
The other guy who I can never remember his name.
Well, neither could they, because they were pissed drunk, so it's okay.
Yeah.
No, but I agree completely. There was, like I liked, oh my God, like, it's so hard for me to choose, because when I first saw Ikkaku again in this movie, I was like, all right, I want to say he's my favorite, but it's really hard, because Kubo has a lot of good characters. I mean, his story, you can say anything you want to about a story, and I'll probably agree, but his characters are really good. Right, so I'm like, damn it, I love Ikkaku, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, Hitsugaya appears. And I'm not saying he's my favorite, but he's around my height, so I love him. So, you know, I can cosplay him. That really, that makes me feel connected to the guy. So, but obviously, no, like, he didn't do anything really memorable when I first saw him appear. All of a sudden, falling, laughing Kenpachi from the sky? Never mind. Kenpachi is my favorite character.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to feel, because it's just there's so many good characters, and it's just like, I love Ikkaku, I love his English voice actor. I mean, I love his Japanese voice actor. I mean, they've both done so much. I mean, of course, if you don't know, his English voice actor is Vic Mignogna. And
right.
If you don't know who Vic Mignogna is, take a look at that, you know, that show, what was it? Was it Full Metal Alchemist? Take a look
yeah.
at that Dragon Ball Z movie. I forget, the one with Broly.
Oh, God.
Kakarot. He was in Soul Eater as well.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, he's been in a lot of things. He freaking sang the vocals for both, the English vocals, for both the Dragon Ball Z Kai opening, right? As well as one or two of the One Piece openings. Two of them, actually. I don't know if he's done any more, but I know he did the first one, and he also did Towards the Light, which is great. Yes.
I don't know.
Well, that you should look up then, my friend. But,
yeah,
so he's obviously... And, of course, you know, the Japanese voice actor, you know, for Ikkaku, I mean, he has done so much. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on, and we're not even going to list it right now because it's
yeah.
just so much.
Yeah.
But
although,
I
do want to say, you know what cameo did piss me off a little bit?
Oh, do tell.
Byakuya.
How so?
Well, okay, it might have not have been his first cameo in the movie, but when Ruki is fighting the one guy, and she hits him with the pillar of ice, and you know
right.
she believes that he's defeated, and then he like regenerates into you know a whole bunch of them around her, and then Byakuya shows up and saves her.
Right.
Again.
Well, fair enough, but I have to say, if it makes you feel any better. It makes you feel any better. I mean, eventually, you know, the story leans towards her, you know, growing into herself. Because, I mean, sadly, they're writing it around as if, you know, she's really, 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 really young and inexperienced compared to her brother, who, yeah, he's
right.
older, and he's a captain.
Yeah.
Remember, she hasn't even found, you know, like, any of her real, like, again, like, if you, like, I would definitely suggest for you to keep on reading, because when you do, you will really, 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 I mean, like, see, like, oh, okay, so, you know, like, she's growing, and she's changing, like, I mean, this movie, I agree, like, I want to say, like, no, but, you know, like, this seems as if the older, stronger man is just better than the woman. But no, it's more of, you know, the roles could be flipped. And if knowing Bleach, they would flip them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you look at someone like Yorichi, where, you know, she was a lot stronger than freaking Byakuya, even, you know? So it's
yeah.
kind of just more of a brother-sister, you know, family
yeah,
kind.
Yeah, that's true. I just, it's just the way her character acts and speaks, she feels so much more independent.
Right,
and
quite
yet
true,
she's always okay. Not always, but there are a lot of times where Rukia ends up, you know, the one in distress and getting saved. And
I agree with you completely. Like, I understand. Completely.
If you want to look at inexperience, I mean, shit, Ichigo saves her half the time. It's like she's been doing this a lot longer than you, bro.
No, yeah, I agree completely. Don't worry. You know that's just main character syndrome, obviously.
Yeah.
But no, I understand completely. It's it can be an issue, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like it was a huge deal. It just kind of irked me a little bit. I mean, I was glad to see him, and his Bankai is amazing, but it was, I don't know. It's like,
yes.
couldn't they have just worked together on it?
Yeah, I understand. I mean, if you think about it, she did take him down. It's just that, sadly, he had that ability where he couldn't really be taken down.
Yeah, well, That's the other thing, too. Like, they can, all of them apparently can, you know, regenerate using the blanks, like,
right.
you know, regrowing a limb or regrowing their entire body from these blanks.
Yes.
And yet if you hit them with enough, you know, I guess you, just to make it easy, if you hit them with enough firepower, they go away.
Basically.
But the one guy regenerated from nothing. Webb.
Here's the thing. He was technically ice shards, I guess, if you want to go there. He was technically shards of ice in theory. So, like, that's where he probably came from. But once you hit them with enough where, I mean, you know, it's funny because when you see more and more and more of, Byakuya's, you know, his moves and his Senbon Zakura, like how good it really is, you start to realize he barely leaves any room for error.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what that is right there. Also, I would like to mention the voice actor for Ikkaku, right, just to get back to that for a second. Because you know what, screw it, we will name them the amazing things that he's done. Nobuyuki Hirayama, right? He has been Kota Hirano from High School of the Dead, which is really funny because he was basically the what many would consider the fat nerd, the otaku, the gun nut. That was him, right? He was Hiei in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Right.
He was Mr. 3 in One Piece. And what's really funny is some of you tokusatsu fans out there may know him as the Wolf Imagine from Kamen Rider Denno, as the great demon king Mephilas from the Ultraman Super Fighter Legend. You won't know him from that. That's not that big. But still, you know, you'll know him from many different, like, it's really interesting how he's had such a huge career. And it's very interesting how he's so linked to Toku, because as a Toku fan myself, I know I've just randomly heard him at random moments. I mean, here's how you know he's done a lot. He's been in the Die Ranger movie, in the Die Ranger show, and in the Kaku Ranger show. Now, Tristan, to you, that means nothing, right? So you're just like, what language are you speaking, man? Die Ranger, right? Die Ranger was done in 1993. Sorry, 92. So that's a huge... Sorry, 93. Wow, my memory's shitty. Point is, 1993... That's a long, long time ago. Sadly, compared to where we are right now, 1993, and he was in tokusatsu doing, you know, voiceover stuff for monsters. Like, damn. You know, wow. So I mean, hey, thumbs up, man. You know, you've had a very good career, and I love his voice too. By the way, he's very passionate. Like, I love Vic Mignogna, but the voice actor for Ikkaku is so passionate in that role that it's hard to dislike him. But yes, also, by the way, speaking of Senna, right, that's a great segue. Speaking of a random other character, I liked how they used her fondness of high places. You know, that's what Ichigo did to find out the opening to the Valley of Screams.
Yeah.
But what's really funny is it was so huge that I kind of sat there and thought, can't any of you see that from anywhere?
You've got an entire portal opened up to the living world over Soul Society. You're telling me that no one fucking saw that?
That's the thing. It's really funny. We're just, I like the symbolism behind it.
Yes. Yeah.
But guys, you know, guys.
Well, the Soul Society does have their moments.
Yeah. Like Genryusai. Like Genryusai. No matter what the problem is, no matter what it is, like, Captain Commander, someone drops, like, a notebook or something. Prepare the Kido Cannon!
Yeah,
I
was going to go to that. It's like, holy shit, your plans are incredibly destructive for someone who's trying to keep the balance between the living world and the spirit world.
No matter what it is, it is, like, sir, there's a hollow in this specific area. Fire the Kido Cannon!
Where the fuck did you even get... Why do you have this thing?
Like, what purpose
Why
has
is
it
this
ever...
a thing?
Yeah. That's literally
have you
like...
had other dimensions try and kill you before?
They've always had the canon, even for, like, you know, the show itself. It's just really funny how it's just... Like, I don't know, it just... Again, we've never really seen it work. So, for us... It's just always a bad idea. And I hope that's what they were trying to say, where it's like, you see, this is why bomb, you know, like them just showing, like, you know, atom bombs and things like that, you know, like those are
exactly.
bad, right?
It's basic, it's their atom bomb.
Yeah, so again, I assume that's why they're trying to show, like, oh yeah, you see, like, these are bad, you know, and it's so true, they are, but it's just very funny how it's just, it makes you really think, like, when has this ever worked for you? You know, we've never seen it work. So tell me, when has it ever worked? And also, I would like to add that even though, you know, obviously the I was going to call it the Shinigami realm. Soul Society is not you know, technically heaven. Since if you read the manga, there's an actual, there's a heaven above heaven. It's Heavenception, man. It's still like heaven in a way. So that's literally like if you died, right, you know, there is a heaven and a hell, let's say. You die, you go up to heaven, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, God, you know, and Peter, what's going on, guys? Oh, it's fire in the heaven canon.
What?
I'm sorry, could you say that again? Yeah, just some evil aliens from, like, the other dimension. Can you, like, help us fire the heaven cannon?
Can you stand right over there and pull that string when I say go?
Yeah.
Like,
are you sure about that, God? Like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, sadly Jesus is there.
Sure.
But, you know, Jesus is there. But, you know, if he doesn't have, if Jesus doesn't get out in an hour from fighting those evil aliens, we're going to have to fire the heaven cannon. Should I have gone to hell? Would that have been more beneficial? I don't. Like, just,
like,
that's
well,
how
well, I mean, if you still want to, I mean, I can.
Yeah,
I just have to snap my fingers.
Yeah, we won't really stop you. I mean,
it's your choice.
Make whatever choice you want to, I mean. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's like you mentioned, it was just very weird.
It's like, they established that they didn't have a way to cross the barrier to get there, and they basically had the two dimensions that were going to crash into each other and destroy everything. So, yeah, okay, drastic measures. I could see how they were to prove it a little more readily, but still, you don't have anything else except a giant fucking cannon. No, nothing?
Yeah.
Really? Nothing at all.
Mini bombs, mini grenades, something. Actually, we originally, like, get me aside. Like, we actually originally called it the giant fucking cannon. but we decided that Kido/Spirit Cannon was probably more appropriate. Okay. But speaking of cannon, this fits into the canon. This whole story, for the most part, I would say. That was actually my best segue of today. No, it really did fit into the canon, though, and I was very happy. Because, I mean, you look at most of these DBZ movies, and it's like, hey, look, you fit into the canon. Like, Krillin goes Super Saiyan. All right, we're going to write this shit out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like Bleach is a little more easier to fit in, like, the canon perspective, I guess, because there's downtime.
I would argue that there isn't as much downtime when it comes to the later arcs, so it's kind of funny how when we get to the other movies, we might actually have to say, you don't fit.
Yeah.
But right now, and we'll be doing the Bleach movies a bit more sporadically than our DBZ stuff, but it's just very interesting how, you know, you look at the, you look at this movie and you're like, wow, this can actually fit. You know, like if Dede Kubo said, which I'm probably sure he has said, oh, yep, this is canon, this fits. It does. You know, nothing about this movie, because, hell, even at the end, everyone forgets, which, while very sad and disheartening and, you know, tear-jerking it is, it still kind of makes it fit.
I feel like Ichigo doesn't completely forget.
No. It's one of those situations. Actually, it's kind of funny.
Like, he's
you,
the only
you
one
saw this,
that remembers.
You know, I hate to spoil anyone, but something like this sword, I don't even want to spoil it. It happened in Otoku once. I don't even want to spoil the show. This happened in Otoku once, a Kamen Rider one. I'm not even spoiling it because I feel really bad. But the point is that, the Japanese, I guess, really like the idea of you've forgotten, but something inside you still knows.
Yeah.
You know, like it's something deep, 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 like friendship or, like relationships and emotions and bonds run so deep, you know, that it's like, I've forgotten, but there's still something there.
Yeah.
And I love that, by the way.
Yeah, I definitely do, too.
Yes, so it fits into the canon. Hooray! We found one. You're our first. Thank you. Mostly our first.
Yeah.
Garlic Jr. doesn't
count.
Fuck. moving forward, I have a question for you. This is going to sound very awkward out of context, but it's a decent question. You ever seen the movie Suicide Club? You ever heard of it? Okay, I guess that's a no. It's a Japanese film.
I'm just going to make that as awkward as possible for you.
It's a Japanese film, right? And
no, I have
why,
not.
And there's, okay, and basically, like, there's, like, it's like an epidemic, basically, kind of like a virus going around where people just feel the need to kill themselves, like, at a moment's notice without even second-guessing it.
So
from the look of it, what?
Nothing.
Oh, yes, I've heard it. Like no, but I believe it was made before that movie. I don't.
Yeah.
Though if it is a novel, then obviously the novel would have came first, I'm sure. But it's a bit like that. However, it's actually more subliminal messaging.
It's not as fucking stupid.
Suicide Club is more subliminal messaging, and it's very interesting. The point being, though, is that at one point, these two people doing a comedy group act, immediately out of nowhere, one of them just, like, slits his throat, and people in the crowd just go fucking nuts and run away. So the second I saw these three guys doing their comedy act, I was like, because I saw the movie recently, and I was like, no. It's like, I don't like where this is going. Sam is immediately standing on top of all of that, and everyone's like, hey, look, quickly, get the camera on her. I'm like, no, I don't like where this is going.
Okay, like,
after you see Suicide Club, now everything just kind of, comedy groups twist and become something evil for you.
Yeah.
You know, but
I was wondering where you were going with that for a second, and now I, yeah.
But,
How does this connect to the movie, and do I want to know?
If anyone hasn't seen Suicide Club, I would suggest watching it. It's actually a very good film. There's a lot of really, you know, cool, interesting stuff in it, and it's also, you know, it's very deep and philosophical, I would say. Really tries to get you to, you know, think about things that you might have not thought about because, you know, how technology is and things like that. And, but you know what? Screw Suicide Club. Or something about Bleach. Just screw that really good movie. But, yeah. So, by the way, when Senna, right, when they first started talking about Senna, right, and they being the Shinigami, and they were trying to tell you all of these Senna facts, basically, did you think that she was a traitor? Because I did.
Like the first time I saw the movie, or
yes.
I thought it might have been possible. Yeah.
Yes, like something about me thought like, and I wasn't even saying that she was going to be a traitor because she wanted to, but it's one of those situations where it's just, you know, like, oh, do they know that she's part of their group, or you know, that she used to be part of their group and forgot, or is she?
Yeah.
But it's really nice to know that even at the end she was like, screw you guys, Ichigo. It was nice.
Yeah.
You know, with all the twists, I think, that we get recently, it's actually nice to have something that's just pretty damn straightforward.
Right.
I would say. Because, you know, I feel like nowadays we would get she's, you know, Genry's long-lost twin sister's brother.
What?
So she's Genryu guy's brother? Yeah. Oh, okay.
She's Genryu's wife. What?
Dun, dun, dun.
What?
Yep. Yeah.
No, like even she turns around like, wait a minute, what?
I don't think that's right.
I don't know where you got that one from, but
but also something about this film that I don't know if you really picked up on or rather agree with or not. I didn't like the CGI in this movie. You know, I'm not a huge fan of CGI messing in with, like, 2D animation or more, you know, more of, like, so it's like, I use the CGI, you know, argument to be more of, like, okay, the scene specifically that I'm referring to, with the blanks and then the exterior shot where, like, all the blanks are just there, there's a whole bunch of them, that seemed really out of place to me, and it always does.
Wait, with which shot with all the blanks in them?
Okay. The first shot. Okay, when you first see Ichigo running up with Rukia and he sees the blanks, right? They look normal. They're like the 2D versions that, you know, like you're gonna fight against, right?
Yeah.
Then they kind of pan out, and then you see a whole bunch of blanks and like random people kind of frozen near them, and something about that shot always kind of irks me. And I don't know if you've noticed, like, I know you've been watching Black Lagoon, which is actually on Adult Swim now. Anyone who doesn't know that, definitely check out Black Lagoon. Really good show. We're probably going to be doing a show on Black Lagoon, you know, eventually. I mean, sometime this summer. It's such a good show, right? And, but anyway, so you notice in Black Lagoon, too, I'm sure, that whenever they're, you know, they get into a car and the car starts moving, it's 3D. You know, it's CGI. It's a lot different than the environments. That's what I'm saying. fast, and I always don't like cars in anime either, if they're the traditional, like, you know, 2D, more of a 2D kind of animation. The cars now always look so out of place.
I see what you mean, okay.
Yes, yes, yes. So, but was that, did you notice that, or was that jarring to you, or did you not even care?
It's funny, I feel like I noticed that, like, the first time I saw the movie, but,
right.
Like, afterwards, I didn't really pick up on it.
Fair enough.
Weird.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
like,
now you were just, the thing is, it's funny, because I think after the first time you're watching the movie, little things like that, I mean, sometimes little things like that get picked up, but I think most of the little things we were looking at were more about Senna rather than blanks.
Yeah.
So we were more focused on what Senna was saying and what Senna was doing, rather than, oh, yeah, these blanks, whatever, screw them.
Yeah, if you look at the, like, the third blank in the left corner, he's actually got
Goku's
hair.
Oh, I'm happy we were both going there. That was my plan. That's really funny. That's great. Oh, God, I love you, man. But seriously, not seriously, we're doing a podcast where we both make jokes for the full hour. Why do I always say seriously? Ichigo jumping onto Renji's Bankai is the best thing ever, only because it's something you can never do in a video game. Hello. It's something you could never do. Hello, shippers. It's something you could never. I feel as if shippers on the internet, regardless of gender, I feel like shippers on the internet crucified Senna when she first appeared.
Really?
And it's funny because I think I heard that, by the way, like when it first when the movie first came out, by the way, in 2006. 2008. I heard that people because obviously think about it. People are shipping, you know, Rukia and
yeah.
Ichigo. People are shipping
Orihime.
Or Orihime or
yeah.
some of the males. So it becomes
yeah.
So for some they're just like, I don't know, man, when like Senna appears. And it's basically like, you know, kind of the coolest chick on the block sort of, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Funny. Like, I don't know if you got it, and I mean I guess I saw it more when I was younger, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Ichigo had more of an emotional attachment to Senna than, like, any other, like, female character in the series.
Yeah, I think it's mostly because he looked at her, because she was younger, I think. So he kind of looked at her as, like, a little sister, I feel.
Yeah,
That's
what I figured you'd say, yeah.
Yes, because I think if anyone tries to put emotional attachment into, you know, I mean, it's funny, because, like, even with, like, Rukia, I feel like as if they're best buds, but in a way, I can understand if someone wanted to put, you know, an emotional thing between him and Rukia. I personally want him to get with Orihime, just saying. But with Senna, of course. But with Senna, I just completely feel as if it's just completely, platonic. But it's a situation where Ichigo's just a really good guy, you know.
Yeah.
So she's in trouble. He wants to help her, and that's what it is. Yeah. Also, I would like to mention, speaking of when the film came out in Japanese theaters December 16th, 2006, and then everyone in America got upset when it was released September 5th, 2007. And I say that because obviously, the fans, because, okay, in America, right, if an American film, even though I'm sure it would be hard to hear still, if an American film, you know, is out in theaters, you bet your ass we're going to be there with, you know, I was going to say camcorders. God, how old am I? With, still, you know, recording the damn thing. You can find it online. Probably, you can find so many movies online right now that are still in theaters. However, I'm not saying all of them will be good quality. But the point, and that's why, you know, it'd be harder, let's say, to translate it to, like, you know, Japanese or something. But you could, in theory. In theory, you could get illegal, you know, movies illegally to another area just by hearing and putting the subtitles on. Because in America, that happens a lot more than it really should. Right?
Right.
Japan, however, they actually have extremely strict laws to the point where we have laws in America, but I would argue that they are a lot stricter in Japan, or at the very least, they follow them a lot more in Japan. Where in America, you know, you could easily, if you work at the theater, or you know a guy who works at the theater, you slip him a 20, when no one's in there, play the movie, and then you film the entire movie, and it looks pretty damn good. I've heard of some people doing this in America, right? In Japan, I don't know how, because again, I don't live in Japan, or I don't know too much about Japan, you know, like the like how the theaters are built, but or who runs them. But from the looks of it, they're just a lot more strict in general. Just nope, honor, no, not happening, not happening, not happening. So you might get little mini clips, like a 3-minute clip from, like, let's say an Evangelion movie, people going, oh, I want to see the end, you know, for the after credit scene or something. Or for the Death Note movie, I remember they had some after credit scenes in Japan. But you're never really going to see anything like the full movie pop out. So for fan subbers, for people who just, or for people who just want to see it fan subbed, you got to wait a while for that DVD.
Right.
You know? I mean, yeah, it's no, you know, Dragon Ball Z 10 years till it finally comes here, wait. but it's still actually, but it's still, you know why, but you want to, what you, you want to know why it really is upsetting, though?
Why?
Because now the promotion, I don't say now, because I don't know if older anime did this, because, you know, we don't really see the TV viewings, but now when we see the TV viewings of, let's say, Bleach, right? And it happens with many other movies as well. You're watching Bleach, and you're like, oh, cool, the opening's coming on. And then they show you clips of the movie that
right.
you can't see for another year and a half.
Yeah.
How upsetting is that? You know, same thing happens with tokusatsu films. I mean, most of the time the movies don't, like, they aren't really canon to the point where you need to watch them to get what's going
yeah.
on. But at one point, and speaking of Kamen Rider Denno, since we mentioned it before with, you know, with the voice actor who's been Mikaku, right, he the movie actually had a couple episodes leading into it, and it was really cool. They were really freaking good episodes. And it had a couple episodes leading into the movie. The movie was where everything crazy happened and then everything finished, like, you know, for that movie arc. And then right after the movie, the episode, you know, the first episode that was after when the movie, you know, premiered in Japan, first episode had them going, cool, we beat the enemy! Yeah! Literally. Just having a party.
Wow.
Like, just, yeah, it was hilarious. But normally that does not happen. So, you know, thankfully we can wait that long and it'll be okay, but still, it's a pretty crazy wait to wait almost a year for a movie because it hasn't come out on DVD yet in Japan.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have to wait for people to fan sub it. Oh, it's crazy.
Right.
Fan subbing is crazy, man. Stay away from it. Never do it. I know you're learning Japanese. Learn it for your own personal gain. That's all.
But don't do it.
But anyway, so I know we were making a joke about Ichigo jumping on Renji's Bankai, but the reason why I was so happy about it is because most things nowadays you can kind of replicate in a video game, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, even in fighting video games or whatever, like maybe your special move will be that, whatever. But that's just a move that you really can't replicate. And that's what makes it so great, in my opinion. Where it's just, you know, I've seen so many Bleach games, but I've yet to see a Bleach game that's so open, kind of like open area, that if, like, you know, Renji summons his Bankai, you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to run on this.
Yeah.
No. Maybe it'll be a special, like a tag team finisher, depending on your game, maybe.
Right.
Which is cool. But still, something like that is just really cool to see, very innovative. And it makes,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and it makes you think, like, wow, like, you know, anything can happen here.
Yeah.
Rather than just the standard, yep, slice them up, use your finisher, call it a day.
Yeah, I mean, you could say the same thing with DBZ, too. Like, they have
right,
a
yeah.
lot of their finishing moves, but whenever it was, like, a tag team,
yes.
like, kind of thing,
yes.
you don't really, like, the closest thing I saw to that was in Tenkaichi 3, that was the last thing that I've played, and they have, it was the Great Saiyan Man's, like, finishing move, where, you know, Great Saiyan Man 2 comes in, Videl comes in, and they
yes.
both finish the enemy.
Yes, I remember.
Like, that was the closest
was
thing. Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, father-son Kamehameha. But, I mean, Goku's
right.
dead, so he's just kind of the spirit behind you. Not that it's not awesome. It is. It's amazing.
No, no, no.
But I
agree completely.
It's
yeah,
not
no,
like
you
you'll
really
have...
Yeah.
It's not like you'll have Vegeta pop in and say, you know, like, Vegeta, I need your help. He's like, shut the hell up, Kakarot.
You know,
and
no,
then,
even in things like...
You know, they both
like,
use their final attacks, you know. You never
yeah.
see anything
yeah.
like that.
Even in things like WWE video games, the most you can really do is have a person at the turnbuckle, you know, in the corner, and in a tag match, and then grapple while the other guy is at your corner. That's the most you can really do, to do a tag team. There aren't really
yeah.
tag team finishers, per se. And mind you, they can get pretty awesome if you think about it, where, you know, you can have, like, a guy setting up someone else for, like, a powerbomb, and then someone jumps off the ropes to clothesline that guy or something, the top one,
right.
You know? Crazy
yeah.
things can really a lot of crazy things can happen if you just have imagination. But they can't happen in the game because, you know, it's like it's so – like how can you even plan for that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just – so, yeah, so kind of the same scenario really where it's just a lot of cool things can happen in real life, but they don't necessarily translate well into games, and that's cool sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, where it makes it look more, like, it makes it look even cooler, but just, wow, you know, I'm looking at, you know, the main character, or I'm looking at, you know, this character.
Right.
But, yeah. And, of course, you know, before we wrap this thing up, I want to mention to you, and I want to get your opinion on this, how do you think Orihime felt when Ichigo popped out of the water, popped out of the entrance, holding another girl?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's used to it by now.
Yeah. She's just sitting there. She's sitting there sipping tea. She's like, if it's not me, it's Rukia or Senna.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Uryu. Just
yeah.
anyone.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Maybe next time it'll be Chad. Nope.
Yeah.
Chad's like, no.
No, I'm going to be holding him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, he's holding Ichigo, who's also holding Uryu, who's also holding Rukia, who
oh,
also
God.
Is holding Senna, though no one remembers who this is. Just some chick. And then Senna's holding Cone.
Oh, Christ.
That's just the tier of... And it's great, too, because they're like, Chad, aren't you tired? Nope.
Nope.
No. Just, really, Chad?
Yeah.
You're only doing that with one hand, and it's not even
it's
your
funny.
Hollow hand.
Like, their cameo was probably the best. Because all you see of them is just them on the bridge waiting for Ichigo to come back out. It's like, oh, my God, is he alive? It's like...
That's what I'm saying, where...
Like,
at least
guys,
for this movie,
fucking alive!
That's what I'm saying. Like, at least for this movie, it just is really upsetting that they were in that middle ground where Ichigo was very strong, but Chad
yeah.
and Orihime hadn't gotten their great powers
nope.
yet. So
nope.
it's kind of just, again, they're stuck in this place. Like, I really had wished, even though I understand it might have been too much and it might have looked a bit fillerish, I would have really
yeah.
been happy had some people, some blanks or something, was still in the real world and they had to fight it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as much as I loved, and I mean loved the fights in this movie, it gave everyone some great time, you know, to kick some ass and to show you how cool they really are, right?
Right.
It's just also upsetting because we didn't get to see, you know, Orihime and mostly Chad. I love Orihime, but Chad's offense is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, hell, Uryu even. Freak,
yeah.
Uryu. But, oh, well. You know, what can we do? Hey, it's okay, though. We're reaching the end of our show, and I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. I'm your host, Matt Marrero, and you're Tristan Walter, are you not? Are
no.
you Tristan?
I'm a blank. I've been a blank this entire time.
Oh, my God, Tristan. I always knew.
I was never here.
But who was never here?
Exactly.
Is someone saying something?
Memories
well, I don't
nobody.
Know, guys. Anyway, so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I hear something on my end of the phone. This was a lovely solo show to do. I'm your host, Matt Marrero, and I would like to thank you guys for listening to usually those guys, but today it was that guy. See you guys tomorrow. I will be doing a DBZ podcast alone, Super Android 13. Take care. その繰り返しの中をさまよって僕が見つけた答えは一つ怖くたって傷ついたって好きな人には好きって伝えるんだ僕を愛してるか愛してないかなんてことはもうどっちでもいいんだどんなに願いの相撲がこの世界には変えられるもんがたくさんあるだろうそうそして僕があなたを
るという事実だけは誰にも変えられる真実だから、天の夜を越えてあなたに伝えたい、伝えなきゃならないことがある、愛されたい、でも愛そうとない、その繰り返し、それかをさまよって、僕が見つけた答えは一つ怖くさって気づくいたって好きな人には好きって伝えるんだ、気持ちを言葉にするのは怖いよ、でも好きな人には好きって伝えるんだ、世界で巡り合う喜びを言葉さえ表せないね、だから僕たちは微笑み、色鮮やかに過ぎる秋をドラミで歌って、冬を去り春の木漏れ日を待ち、新しく生まれ変わる誰かを守れるようにと、来た道と行き先振り返ればいつでも臆病な目を知りたい、今あなたに会いに行こう、伝えなきゃならないことがある、愛されたいでも愛そうとない、その繰り返し、それがおさまよって遠く